Shalom aleichem, Rabbeisai. We are in Bezos Hashem, Chavis Halvavis, Shara Knia. Perek Vav. We are in Vehashvi. Vehashvi. Conduct number 7, halacha lemaisa of the nichna, of the person with this mid of kniya. So, number 7, we were saying that a person should feel that whatever he could do just isn't enough. Not to feel like, I'm okay with Hashem, right? We keep seeing that. That's really the thread here, a sense of inadequacy. I'm okay with Hashem. I have, you know, I have my Torah mitzvahs pretty much. I have a handle on it. I'm doing just fine. To always be sensing that whatever I'm doing is not enough. As we keep explaining, on the one hand, the person says, "Woman, so I know in the first place that whatever I'm doing is not enough." So this 1,000 years ago, the great Rishon Rabbi Abachi is saying, whatever I'm doing is not enough. So you know in the first place, there's nothing to try. You can't even strive for doing enough. But no, it's saying the other way around. It's true. You cannot do enough. Hashem didn't set it up. By nature, it's such that you can't do enough. How can you possibly repay Hashem? But on the contrary, you can take one of two approaches. You can either say, well, this is how Hashem set it up, so it's not my problem. Or you could say, and this is the point, part of a correct relationship with Hashem, part of having a proper dynamic with Hashem, if we'll put it that way, is living with that sense. That's part of your service. That's part of the avoda. Part of a shleimustika, fully rounded relationship with Hashem, is the realization that whatever I do is not enough. That itself is what fully rounds out your avoda and brings it to the maximum that it could be. If you'd be serving Hashem, thinking that, okay, say that I'm under control, your avodas Hashem is sorely lacking because you don't get what's going on. You're off the map. When I'm doing the most I can with the sense of that it's not enough, there, now I'm doing it right. You follow what I'm saying? There's it's the dynamic of appreciating how you are incapable. Hashem wants you to realize that, live with that realization that you are incapable of really compensating kibayochel Hashem. If you can do that, you're bringing your avodah to its perfection. But you also want to constantly be living with that sense of, could I possibly be doing more? Whatever I could do more, I want to do more. I'm starting in the middle here. No, sorry. We ended last time by showing how the... Okay, a person should always approach it humbly. And we started, we're in the middle of number seven. We started last time with how, that's why, that's Chavos HaLevavos' Pshat, and why the day in the Beis HaMikdash begins with the Tumas HaDeshen, right? It's to, the Kohen is busy removing waste, so to speak, from the Beis HaMikdash, to remind him, it's a humbling avodah. Now, this is what David is praised for, when it says, Vateres HaMelech David Mephazes U'mecharkeh Lefnei Hashem. David HaMelech completely lowered himself before Hashem. Completely lowered himself before Hashem. He did not see himself as in any standing of dignity when he was in Hashem's presence. When was he in Hashem's presence? David was in Hashem's presence all the time. So, for example, when the Aron was being brought back to the Mishkan from where it had been bought, right? It was captured by the Plishtim, then it was brought back. It was in Kiryas Yearim for a while. When it was being bought back and everybody was dancing with it, it was like Achnasa Sefer Torah, right? It says, David HaMelech was mefazes u'mechalkel lefnei Hashem. He was bouncing up and down in front of Hashem. This was not kingly behavior. You have to really picture the scene of a king. There's a whole crowd in front of the Aron jumping up and down, and David HaMelech is standing with his, you know, there's a whole bunch of people with their arms around each other, and David HaMelech with his royal robes and crown is jumping up and down with everybody else. It says his wife, Michal, who was the daughter of a monarch, right? She was the daughter of Shaul HaMelech. This wasn't what she was used to. And she had a hard time with it. We're not getting into that right now, but we're just getting into this midah of David HaMelech, how there was no gavhus lifnei Hashem. He was not exercising his own dignity as a king in front of Hashem. He was bouncing up and down as much as he could. He was like, you know, people in Simchas Torah who are jumping as high as they can, not the people who are dancing gently. The people are bouncing. That's what David HaMelech is doing. Mefazis u'mechalke, bouncing up and down. And that whole parasha it describes it there. But Omar also says in the pasuk David HaMelech, besides everything else, he was a king. But you know what else he was? He was also one of the local rabbanim. If a woman had a shayla, this is mind-boggling if you really understand what a monarch is. A woman had a shayla, she had to get to a rav. One of the rabbanim, you looked him up. What's that?
On call,
yeah. One of the rabbanim available. If you looked up, you know, who are the local rabbanim, the Batei Hara, palace. She could come into his courtyard and show him a shayla. Sometimes these shaylas were a woman who had miscarried some glob of something. She didn't know if she's Tamei Tumas Leidon. All complicated perek about that in Nida, right? I'm a pelis. Depends on the form, it depends on the stage, it depends on all kinds of things. To bring it to a chacham, right, he would sometimes have to analyze the glob in order to see what its status is. It's a messy business. And women would bring him those kinds of shaylas. And he could be sitting in the presence of a meeting with foreign dignitaries, right? Foreign kings who were coming to visit, having a convention of kings. And a woman comes in, and he would say, excuse me for a moment. And he would take her messy glob in his hand and study it in order to give her a psak. Kings didn't do that kind of thing. And this is David HaMelech, right? Just lowering himself before Hashem. What else? Hashmini. Number eight is Sheyaspik leMisibos HaMozen Ma Sheyis Daven. A person should suffice with whatever food it is. Uma Sheyimtzo. Doesn't have too high expectations in terms of his gashmis. May Asher Tia Nafsha Nemibzo Unikalabainov. This is something interesting that both the Chavis Habav and the Siyos Yisrael make this point. I have always thought, that's still how I experience it that way, that wanting good food is a matter of taiva. It's not in the realm of gaiva, right? It's taiva. Both of the Siyos Yisrael and the Chavis Habav and the Siyos are making the point that they say that, no, the thought that you should be having good food somehow is categorized with gaiva. Yeah, I can't say I completely understand it, but he's saying that, yeah, just make do with whatever it is because you're not thinking so highly of yourself. I suppose the idea is that you don't think you're deserving. You don't think that, I don't know, okay. So, but whatever it is, he said part of the midah of anava is just to make do with whatever it is. Just suffice with whatever it is. He says another reason to just make do with simple food, whatever it is also to train your body. Here's the natural thing. To train your body to rein in its natural tightness. The more a person simplifies his material standards, and the less busy he is with it, the less busy his mind is with it. And he's more capable of busying himself with what the Chavis HaVavis calls repaying Hashem. He would just say, with his ruchnius. So this is a chash of a point. This is a chash of a point. Call this a preview if you want. My father-in-law, I'm not sure if I'm supposed to say Aline Kapras Mishkava about a father-in-law. He was also a Rebbe, but probably not. But he also had a din of a Rebbe for me. So I did see both down there for Rebbe, you do say. But whatever the case is, they found in his Musilas Yesharim a little paper that had all kinds of different notes that he wrote for himself to keep himself conscious of. I'm trying to find the one that's relevant to Inyan Einu. Mamish this point. He had a little piece of paper and with different little sayings from Chazal or different Sifrei Musar. One of them is B'miut Achila. He's bringing its B'miut Achila. I'm not sure if this is one of the Menchas Kinyanei Torah, Miut Achila. I don't remember that term. There's Miut Shena, Miut Sicha, Miut Derech Eretz, Miut Tzchoik. I don't remember Miut Achila. But whatever, he's bringing a quote, if it's not from there, from somewhere else. Sheimuchem HaKabbalas Ol Torah V'Avoyde V'Chaleis. What is the ideal? When we talk about Prishus, so it's kind of like this high and holy thing, people fast. No, there are some very pragmatic aspects of exercising Prishus. Again, not turning it into a central focus of life and fasting and all that, but exercising Prishus just for the purpose of that I am not encumbered by Gashmi's Dika needs. I can always just pick up and drop it if I need to. Let me give an example, a simple example. You have the fellow who breakfast has to be breakfast kahalacha, right? Breakfast is two rolls and, I don't know, all kinds of different things. He has to have freshly ground coffee. He's not a coffee from a jar guy. That'd be freshly ground coffee. And the eggs have to be just so. And the bread has to be perfectly fresh. Can't start his day without that. Now he starts his day with a shiur. But that shiur is contingent on something. There's a lot of conditions that have to be in place in order for him to make it to that shiur. The bread has to be fresh. Bread from yesterday won't do. Bread from the freezer won't do, right? And again, it's not a coffee from a jar guy. It's got to be freshly ground. All kinds of conditions that have to be in place. If they're not in place, breakfast gets held up. Everything else gets held up too. The guy who is capable of just saying, you know what? Breakfast is going to be whatever there is in the closet right now. If there's fresh bread, hine matoid. If not, I'm going to take whatever it is. My shear is not going to be delayed. I'm showing you mine. My shear is not going to be delayed. This is the miut achila. This is the precious that we're talking about in a very pragmatic way. Not who knows what, but just the ability to be mevater on the level of gashmias. Not in terms of changing my lifestyle, but in terms of being able to say, okay, now no. Why? Because it's going to hold me up in my day and I need to be able to move on to my seder, to my shir, to my chavrusa. This is another reason to exercise telling yourself no, not to become dependent on, like we said before, a certain standard of breakfast. Are you capable, right, of coming home and just, you got home a little bit late tonight and supper is cool. Are you capable of just eating it cool in order to get out to your seder? Or, no, I have to notify the chavrus, I'm going to be 35 minutes late because it's geit nishtazoi. Has to be warmed up. Has to be, you know. So this is the point that some of us is making here. Train yourself to just suffice with simple food. Now, how do you train yourself? This means on a regular basis, however you'll define regular, every so often saying, this I don't need. Again, we're not talking about fasting. We're not talking about esoteric practices. But having your muscles exercised to be able to say, yes, I'm just going to have to bypass this right now if I want to keep my spiritual program knocking with the intensity that it should. Okay, so that's number 8 on the halacha lamaisa conduct of a person with the midah of kniyah. We'll stop here for tonight. Welcome to you.